You're invited to travel the world and discover what it means to live the intercontinental life. With more than 200 properties worldwide, Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts welcomes you to iconic properties in global destinations including New York, London, and Shanghai. Discover more about these cities and the tales they inspire with Stories of the Intercontinental Life, a collection of stories that will excite your curiosity and offer new perspectives on the world. Hear more at intercontinental.com/life.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. And do you know where your children are? They're online, of course, like the rest of us. But good news, keeping tabs on them just got a little bit easier. Tech makes it so. We're talking the latest parental control offerings from Apple, Google, and Amazon after these tech headlines. The nation's largest cable operator, Comcast, is getting into the streaming business. Its new platform, Peacock, is slated to debut in April with original programming featuring stars like Alec Baldwin and Demi Moore, as well as exclusive streaming rights to popular NBC shows like Parks and Recreation and The Office. An added bonus for Comcast's more than 21 million U.S. cable subscribers, they're expected to get it for free. Peacock will join a busy field. Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus are set to launch in November, but wait, there's more. HBO Max and AT&T's Warner Media are due out next spring. All of these platforms, of course, will tear into Netflix's hold on the streaming market with their 60 million subscribers in the U.S. and their 91.5 million subscribers around the world. On to music streaming markets, they are also changing with a new focus on sound quality. Amazon Music, of course, is the first major subscription streaming player to offer more than 50 million audio tracks in CD quality. What's that, or even better? Amazon Music HD will be a bit cheaper than comparable, more niche services like Tidal, which is already offering master's quality sound. Amazon HD music service was made available Tuesday in the US, the UK, Germany, and Japan. Sales of Juul e-cigarettes in China have been halted just days after the startup launched its products there, the world's biggest tobacco market. Chinese websites JD.com and Alibaba's Tmall removed Juul's vaporizers in mint, Virginia tobacco, mango, and cream flavor refill pods. The San Francisco company said it remains committed to providing adult smokers in China and around the world with an alternative to regular cigarettes. Here in the U.S., Juul is facing pressures from the Trump administration, which intends to pull most flavored e-cigarettes off the market, citing a rise in teenage vaping. And speaking of kids, how you can use tech to keep tabs on them. The latest offerings from Apple, Amazon, and Google.
You're invited to travel the world and discover what it means to live the intercontinental life. With more than 200 properties worldwide, Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts welcomes you to iconic properties in global destinations including New York, London, and Shanghai. Discover more about these cities and the tales they inspire with Stories of the Intercontinental Life, a collection of stories that will excite your curiosity and offer new perspectives on the world. Hear more at intercontinental.com/life.
Many parents ask how they can better monitor their children online, especially when juggling multiple devices for multiple children on multiple mediums. Let's talk parental controls. Joining us now to help sort them all out is Wall Street Journal reporter Julie Jargon. Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
First off, you mentioned how parents are trying to monitor their kids' internet habits without spending a lot of money. There are options on the market that are being utilized. I'm assuming they're more old school, perhaps.
You can buy actual hardware that you install in your home that will tap into your wireless router. And then there's also another service called Bark that actually does real-time monitoring to see what types of posts your children are posting on Instagram and other forms of social media, and will send you alerts when they might say something that's troubling or indicative of potential for self-harm. Those are services that you pay for, but there are plenty of ways to try to keep tabs on what your kids are doing online from the palm of your hand.
Right, right. And that's what you're right about. You know, let's get right to this week, starting Thursday with the new iOS 13. Apple takes things up a notch and addresses this very issue of monitoring. So let's start there. Walk us through how new functions can help this cause.
Yeah, so Apple later this week is expected to debut their latest operating system. And as part of that, they have some new features, one of which will make it easier for parents to set time limits on specific apps. In the past, parents kind of had to hunt around in the usage report on their phone to find out how many hours their kids were spending on any particular app. Now that's all going to be part of one section under their screen time settings, there's a section called app limits. And in that, you can just scroll down and click on, you know, whether it's Instagram or TikTok or Facebook, you can click on those and then set specific limits. So if you only want your child to spend 2 hours a day on TikTok, you can do that from your device.
And Lord knows they are on TikTok, whatever that is. I still don't know.
They're on TikTok. They're on YouTube a lot. I checked my own child's device and thought, wow, a lot of YouTube watching. But there's another big change that's not coming this week, but that's expected to come out later this fall. And this is probably the biggest, most important change that is happening. And that is the ability for parents to manage the contacts in their kid's phone or other device, mm-hmm. so that they can restrict their children from communicating with anybody outside of sort of an approved contact list. And I think that's the thing that's going to give parents of Apple devices users the most peace of mind, because that's obviously the concern, is who are my kids actually communicating with? Who are they texting late at night?
You mentioned YouTube, which brings me to Google. Not to leave out our Android friends, of course. They have an app called Family Link. How can parents use this? Similar to what Apple's doing?
Parents can use their Family Link app to set screen time limits, approve, you know, downloads of apps that kids want to download, set a bedtime for their devices. They can do that all through this Family Link, and it can work with most devices that run Google's operating systems. What they didn't used to be able to do until about a year ago or so is extend that to older kids. The Family Link was designed to manage accounts for children under the age of 13. But now, even if a teenager who has already set up a normal Gmail account, parents can also set up Family Link to have oversight of that teenager's account. However, that teenager has to provide parental permission and can choose to turn off that parental supervision if they want to.
So some things to keep in mind.
Yes.
If kids aren't on their iPhone or their Android device, probably at least have an Amazon tablet or an Echo Dot to play with. But I understand they have some similar functions.
Yep, they have this app called Free Time. It's included on all Fire tablets, including ones that are not the specific kids edition, but even the ones that their parents are using. And parents can do all of the usual kinds of things from that as well. They can set the bedtime, screen time, and app limits. In addition, parents can also customize age filters so that, you know, say you've got three children all using that one tablet, each child who, you know, has a profile set up on that device will only be able to see age-appropriate content. And then the other kind of interesting thing that's different about Amazon is that parents can use this Free Time app to set daily goals for educational content. So they can say, you've got an hour to play educational games or read some books, some ebooks, and only after that can you play video games or watch YouTube.
And one thing you mentioned specifically was this decades-old online privacy law. It essentially allows tech companies to treat teens like adults. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how that makes managing kids even harder?
Yeah, it does. It was based on a very long ago law that was designed to create privacy rules to make sure that online marketers weren't marketing to minors, which was defined then as anyone under the age of 13, and also to not be able to collect personal identifying information of those young people. And that law became kind of the standard and became the way that tech companies view their users. So anyone who's, you know, over the age of 13 is basically considered an adult on the internet. Wow. You know, you can create an Instagram account, a Facebook account, whatever, once you're 13 without any sort of parental permission. That gives tech companies the ability to market to you and collect some of your personal data. So that's the reason why that Google's Family Link app was initially designed for those under the age of 13.
You spoke to the experts. What do family media experts have to say? I know they mentioned something specific called digital on-ramps. Is that a new thing?
It's definitely a kind of one method that family media folks refer to. And that is just having ongoing conversations with your kids and starting off, you know, once a child has a device that's connected to the internet, having those, you know, kind of incremental conversations with them and making incremental changes as they get older. One expert said, you know, your kids always see you taking pictures and, you know, you might be posting them so the grandparents can see them on Facebook. So when you're doing that, have a conversation and tell them what you're doing. And that gets the flow of conversation going so that they understand how you're using your device and social media. And so that they can kind of learn to model what is, you're hopefully setting a good example of, you know, model behavior and just have those ongoing conversations so that they learn what responsible technology usage is instead of only relying on some of these tools.
Makes a lot of sense. Wall Street Journal reporter Julie Jargon, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.